Before I start that, I want to make sure I get a couple things across before I get wrapped up in this and your questions. At the table, now it's to your right as you go out the door, there's a new petition that's just come out from the river and water groups across the state. We're called the Watershed Alliance. That this petition is a drought preparedness petition to the state leaders of North Carolina, to the legislature and to the governor, and we hope to collect really hundreds of thousands of signatures this sort of spring summer festival season when we're out seeing a lot of people. So it's talking about getting ready for the drought in a way that we have not yet. There needs to be some laws changed in the state so that we can better use stormwater. As it's coming down, we can catch it and use it. We need to stop rewarding people for using more water, you know, the whole rate structure thing that we're doing. There's several other points that are made. Please take a look at the petition and sign it if you will. You don't need to give your email or phone number if you don't want anybody to ever contact you again, but you need to put your address so that the legislature sees that you're one of their constituents, and it's very powerful. So thank you about that. I wanted to mention, this is our newsletter that just came out this week, and yeah, the front page has a drought article that kind of gives a quick look at what's been going on, but I encourage you to pick up a copy, and if you did not get to see it in the early March issue of The Independent, we reran, we got a reprint here of Kat Warren's Jonesing for Jordan article, which was a powerful, fantastic article. She did such an amazing job of discussing this whole drought issue in the Triangle, and I hope you'll take a copy and read that. And last of all, May 10th, come down to Bynum to the Haw River Festival and see what this beautiful river looks like that we're trying to save as it's flowing on its way down into Jordan Lake. So, and even before I start that, can everybody see this? This is a pretty good angle on it. I want to make sure that you look. This is sometimes just the best way to really get a sense of what this watershed looks like, is this kind of cartoon. And so you can see this is northwest of Greensboro. It's actually Forsyth County where the river starts. 110 miles down to where it meets the Deep River to become the Cape Fear. And of course, along the way, there are many old cotton mill dams that were used during mill races. Most of those cotton mills are gone, but the little dams are still there called Runner River Dams, like you've seen in Bynum and Saxenhaw. And of course, the big dam is the Jordan Lake Reservoir, holding back water on 14,000 acres at normal pool level. So this is all the big Haw River part of the watershed. Takes a long time for water, it does not take a long time. For water to come down here, it can be really as short as a week if it's through flood water. But once it enters this upper part of the lake, it's over the dam in a week. This can take up to a year to flow all the way down to the dam. It's a very slow, shallow, eutrophic part of the lake that was the floodplains of the New Hope Creek. Some of you may remember when it was the New Hope River, the New Hope Creek, all these creeks all flowed into the New Hope before meeting the Haw River. So that's really what we're going to focus on this evening, is Jordan Lake and the upper arm there of Jordan Lake. So as we already said, we've been around for 26 years. Our group was formed as the lake was being formally dedicated for public use. And many of the people in the Haw River Assembly had fought Jordan Lake from being built. The fight was over, the fight was lost, and decided to just form an organization that would protect the Haw River and Jordan Lake and try and restore water quality. And can people hear me? Okay, this is pretty good mic here without my having to pick it up. So, let's move this without shutting anything off. So this is just to give you a quick, I'm sure this is an audience, I'm sure you already know this. So here we are The biggest river in North Carolina is the Cape Fear, and we're up here in the upper Cape Fear is the Haw River watershed. And Durham over here, so now we're just looking at the Haw River watershed. Over here is the Deep River watershed meeting the Haw River down here. But Durham, as you probably all know, is split between the Haw River watershed and the Eno, which goes into the Neuse. So it's a very special, difficult circumstance for a city to be in, really. And Durham has already been under the Neuse River nutrient rules for many, many years, and is going to now be also under the Jordan Lake rules. It's a tough position to be a city split between two watersheds like that, but that's what it is. You can also see it as a wonderful thing that there's all a beautiful water nearby, but has to be used wisely. Yet another view coming in closer. Now you can see, and you know, basically Highway 70 splits the watershed, and it's not a coincidence. People used to build roads on the ridgetops, so that 70 was the dividing ridge between the Eno and the what was the New Hope watershed there. So this is the area again that we're talking about, and this kind of about that much of these creeks all flow west into Jordan Lake instead of towards the Neuse. And of course, these are pictures of the actual Jordan Lake Dam. So here's the big here's the big slide. Many of you have seen it probably already. Maybe one of your other speakers showed you this. These are the allocations that are already approved and been approved for some time. Supposedly, out of the whole water pool at Jordan Lake, 100 million gallons per day could be used for water supply, but right now 63 have actually been allocated. Of that 63, during this last drought, probably most of that was being used. And of course, Kerry was actually selling some water to Durham. None of that. So we're now down to more like 40 something out of that, what they say was 100. So when people say, oh, Jordan looks so great, you know, well, if we're using all of that, it wouldn't have looked as great. The Haw River Assembly does not believe that this number is even viable if we want Jordan Lake to also be for recreation and wildlife and not simply a big bathtub that we stick straws in and suck out like Falls Lake. Because that's what happened to Falls Lake. You know, all those dreadful pictures. It's not because the drought was worse over in Raleigh. It's just the demand on that water was so much greater. They were using every bit of it that they could. This is a map that shows, now we're going to start talking about water quality. This map shows the whole watershed, and every red line you see are streams that are on the EPA Federal Impaired Waters list. So basically, every city has impaired waters. Little Troublesome, several creeks in Greensboro, part of the Haw River, creeks in Burlington, part of Mevin, parts of creeks in Chapel Hill, Booker Creek, Bolin Creek, part of Morgan, Meeting of the Waters, Bolin and Carborough, Northeast Creek, Third, Fourth Creek, and Durham, all on the impaired waters list. Pittsboro's Robeson Creek. And much of that impairment comes from stormwater. But these are the municipal wastewater discharge plants. There's a lot of them. We have 10 major plants in this watershed. Greensboro has two, Reidsville, Burlington has two, Graham, Mevin, Pittsboro, Chapel Hill, two from Durham. And then there's numerous other small ones. So another reason Jordan Lake looks so good in a drought is as long as people are flushing their toilets in Greensboro, that water keeps on coming down to Jordan Lake. And you can see it on the USGS site that has the data for water flow for Bynum. You watch during a drought, this curve on the graph as the water keeps getting lower, as there's no rain, and it keeps coming down, and then it just flattens out. It never goes lower than that. And if you look at a closer time lapse, you can actually see these little blips. When are the major releases from upstream from those wastewater plants? You know, just a little bit, but it doesn't get lower than that. At least not with the, not in the Haw River. So I'm sure a lot of this stuff is familiar to people. Point source pollution are those wastewater treatment plants. There are other discharge pipes. Point sources meaning there's an actual point where the pollution comes out. Two-thirds of the pollution in Jordan Lake is actually coming from these non-point sources. This is a famous picture some of you may have seen. Chapel Ridge golf course development in Chatham County was being built and pretty much destroyed Dry Creek with this mud. So this is actual muddy water flowing into the Haw River here. It's a pretty dramatic picture that got the attention of the state. And we want to remember that Jordan Lake has all these other, you know, it's important for all four of these things. And if you ever have time to spend out at Jordan Lake, you know, the bird life is just amazing. The bald eagles and osprey and herons and cormorants. There's a nesting osprey. A lot of kids swim in Jordan Lake. That's a view from the dam. A lot of fishing goes on in Jordan Lake. A little bit more detail about the problems from water pollution. So you can see that more than, you know, much more is coming from these non-point sources. So what happens with all this nutrient pollution in Jordan Lake, this nitrogen and phosphorus? There's too much of it coming into the lake, and what it does is it grows a lot of algae. So, you know, algae is really, it's just a water plant, so you give it that fertilizer and it grows. And Jordan Lake is growing a lot of algae. Not so much you see these surface blooms, it's more looking into the water, and it's just so green, just so green. If you're on a boat, you can look down and you kind of almost see clouds of it. But it's way too much. And these are the kind of problems, you know, about algae. There are types that are toxic. We're watching for those at Jordan Lake. Certainly can cause fish kills and increases the cost of treating water if you've got a lot of algae in it. I could be giving the same discussion about Falls Lake. It has all the same problems. Many lakes in North Carolina and the whole Southeast have nutrient problems. But we're going to talk about Jordan Lake. So when mud's flowing into Jordan Lake from new development, this is a very typical site when construction's going on. It's also carrying nutrients with it as well. But mud has its own problems just because of that turbidity that it creates very bad conditions for the fish and other aquatic organisms that are choking on that mud and reducing visibility. This is Northeast Creek looking up from the main part of Jordan Lake. Mud's coming down from, in this particular picture, it's from, here's the same picture, now we're looking from the muddy side. I actually took this picture from an airplane. That's 751 crossing Jordan Lake. So these muddy waters from Northeast Creek are going out. This is their only place that they can get into the lake, so it kind of backs up, but you can see the difference in color there. And this is construction in the area to the east of the lake that Kerry annexed for Amberley. There's some newer development that's causing the same problems now off of O'Kelly Church Road, 54 and O'Kelly Church Road. If you just go a little bit from there, this massive construction that's going on in Kerry and over into land that had been Chatham County. So high, a lot of algae also causes a very high pH, and as you can see in this little, you know, a lot of you remember this from science class, you know, 7 is neutral, very, very acid, very, very alkaline. Algae causes a lot of alkalinity, and the water quality standard is 8.5 is the highest you want to see in fresh water. We've been seeing over 9 in Jordan Lake. This is the actual, I'm sorry, this is the chlorophyll A data. You're not supposed to be seeing over 40. Here's a 52, here's a 57. Wow, I don't know why that one didn't get marked. 72. This is the pH. There's a 9.2, 9.0, 9.3, 9. These are terrible. These are really, this is so alkaline. We can't believe that the fish can stand this. And this is mostly up in the upper New Hope arm where we're seeing these kinds, some at Robeson Creek as well. So, you know, there's new rules out that have been drafted to try and fix this, to try and reduce the pollution from the loading into Jordan Lake. And we'll go through this kind of quick, but the timeline is that 97, the General Assembly, the Clean Water Responsibility Act was passed saying Jordan Lake needed to be cleaned up, but in 99, they allowed 7 local governments to develop a model which delayed everything. These are the monitoring sites at Jordan Lake. As you can see, there's a lot of them. So they came back to the Environmental Management Commission in 2002 with this model, which indeed showed that there was too much nitrogen in the lake. We knew that already in 97, so already we're 5 years out. Because of that, not even because of this model, because of testing DWQ had done, Division of Water Quality, it put the upper New Hope Arm of Jordan Lake on the federal impaired waters list. That 303D refers to Section 303D of the Federal Clean Water Act. That's why it's called that. So continuing to work on how we can respond to this nutrient, state held stakeholder meetings, 22 meetings. I thought I'd die from those meetings. They came up with a draft rule due to objections from local governments, a whole nother round of stakeholder meetings that lasted in 2006, went before the EMC in early 2007. This, as you can see, we're now in the past here. We had those public hearings in 2007. Oh, I don't know why this is second here, but this is why you have to clean up Jordan Lake. These are all the laws that say you have to clean up Jordan Lake. So federal law, state law, and a second state law from 2005, I believe, 2006. Yeah, we already talked about this. This is kind of an important part here, though. Once you reach this 10% of whatever you're sampling for, it was chlorophyll A, exceeding the water quality, you have to clean up that body of water. So we'll go through this pretty quick. So what the rules are going to do is reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus everywhere by everybody. So you saw that huge watershed. Nobody's getting picked on. Everybody has to reduce. And the Haw River arm, because what the model showed was that this part was not as impaired. It's still exceeding, but it's not as impaired. So they're being asked to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus by this much, 8%, 5%. Unfortunately for Owosa, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Orange County, Durham County, they're in the thick of things. You know, this is the most impaired part of the water moves so slow, so asking that, it has to be reduced that much to try and get the lake back into shape. Fortunately, both Owosa and Durham were in the process of starting to build much treatment plants that could treat to a much higher level. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. Uh-oh, it's stuck. Can you go back? No. Okay. Again, everything will be affected. There's rules for reducing in wastewater treatment plants, reducing stormwater in places where things were built a long time ago and stormwater just goes gushing down into the creeks. We're going to try and figure out some ways to do that. It's a very extended timeline of how to do that, realizing cities are going to take a long time to figure out ways to do that. It's not going to happen overnight. The wastewater treatment plants will happen fairly quickly. but trying to reduce it from where there's already stormwater is going to take a lot longer. This is that map again showing the most impaired waters. So this was, you know, did quite happen like this. The EMC will be voting on the rules in May. They'll probably go to the Rules Review Commission. They'll go to the General Assembly in 2009 to be voted on. Some of the rules will become effective immediately. Wastewater treatment plant, right now it looks like the EMC is going to ask for the nitrogen reductions in 2013. So, you know, it's, most of the rules are going to, even if we pass these rules in 2009, it'll be years before water quality really starts to improve because of the rules. But at least we'll be headed in the right direction. So we ask you to support these rules. You could join us at Clean Water Lobby Day this year, but next year will be the one where we will really be at Clean Water Lobby Day, trying to get the Jordan Lake rules passed. And I'll just quickly go through these protecting, how to protect water quality. I might be in people's, am I in your way? I can sit down as I just go through these quickly. So a lot of us are trying some of the rain barrels, of course, have become very popular. Rain gardens, using less chemicals, watering only when you need to. Taking care of your septic system. And we do have lake watchers out there that are that have actually, their information has made a big difference at Jordan Lake. We've discovered some of the algae blooms and fish kills that got the state out there, and did a lot of pH testing. Jordan Lake is now on the federal waters list for pH impairment as well. So those are the kind of things we look for. Okay. So there we go. You always find us, very simple website, hawriver.org. And did you want to take questions now, or would you want to hear both speakers and then do questions?
That's what we did last time. Although before, and it might be a good segue into Barry's discussion, are any local governments choosing to do something now rather than waiting until 2013 with the levels of pollution we have? Have you encountered any voluntary efforts?
I would say to some degree Chapel Hill and Durham both, because of better wastewater treatment plants going online sooner. Maybe not quite as much as these rules would have asked for, but definitely already starting that process. Many of our cities have some excellent stormwater programs already, and Durham has a good stormwater program. Chapel Hill certainly does. And so places that already have certain ordinances that surpass what these rules will have, they're not going to be passing any new rules. Many cities and even some of the counties have better riparian buffer rules than the state rules will require, but not everybody does. So when you have those riparian buffer rules, it means Rockingham County, that's where Reidsville is, will finally start having riparian buffer rules. But they're all over the place. There are some good things going on. Of course, you may know that Chatham County has passed some of the strictest environmental regulations in the state in the past year, but while there's a development moratorium going on. So we're seeing some changes all over the watershed. Unfortunately, the entire Upper Haw arm is dead set against these rules and has been out trying to stop them in any way they can. Owassa and Durham were not in favor of the rules in earlier stages, seemed to be coming around. Chapel Hill passed a resolution supporting them. Cary, you would think, would have been on the forefront of supporting these rules because they drink the water and they discharge into the Neuse. So, and not very much of their, not so much of their creeks discharge into Jordan Lake, although with their annexed land, more than it used to be. But Cary, under its previous town council anyway, had not been very much in favor of the rules. That's kind of changed since the last election.
Okay.